Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, 6th chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." But others said, "He is Elijah," and others said, "He is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "What I want you to give me at once is the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What the scripture holds before us today is a comparison between two men. But really at the heart of it, it's two mutually exclusive ways. One is the way of life, the other of death. May God in his mercy direct our days and our deeds into the former, that we never taste the latter. King Herod, and this is King Herod Antipas, right? Right? He's full of lust, full of perversion. Had stolen his brother's wife, his brother Philip, and had taken upon himself this sort of incestuous marriage. And so from this perverse state of things that Herod is living in, when his niece, historically Salome, finished dancing for him and his guests, he is so consumed by the lust of his heart and the lust of his eyes that he says that he will give this provocative girl anything that she wants up to half of his kingdom. Like, what an idiot. And what she wanted, right, without charge, without a trial, but simply for having offended her mother for speaking the truth about her, right? Not even lying, but speaking the truth about her and Herod's illicit marriage. What does she want? St. John's head on a platter. Now, hear that, right? She wants his head on a platter. What does that insinuate? It insinuates and relays to us that what she wants to do is devour St. John. She wants to devour, to slay this man who was of God, he was from God, he was for God, to slay this man for telling the truth about this incestuous, ungodly living situation that he was in. And St. John does not hold back, does he? Praise be to God. And you should hear him well and follow his example. He calls out even the king. And the king does what? Kills him. Kills this man of God for speaking the word of God to him. And it scared the king. Scared him. He was afraid because this fiery preacher of the desert was without question God's man in that place. And now he's in a pickle. But what is it that's operating here within this particular man? Within Herod? What's operating? Death. Right? Death and the way of death. And it subjugates Herod and it makes him its slave, which is what death does. It will bind you and make you its slave. Like his father, remember his father, Herod, the slayer of the innocents in Bethlehem. Herod's more afraid of what his distinguished guests at dinner might think about him than what God might think about him. And so driven about like a beast under bit and bridle by his masters of lust and pride and death, and standing in this false sense of honor, because it is false, pretending as though he were a dignified man of his word. Oh, I can never go back on my word. He slays our brother St. John, the bearer of truth, to satisfy the daughter of the harlot Herodias. Now, St. John, the forerunner, on the other hand, he is a true man. He is a man of the way of life. And the two ways and the two men couldn't be more distinguishable from one another. The world could not stomach St. John, nor suffer him to live, in much the same way that it could not suffer Amos, nor any of the prophets of God before him. This is the same world entrenched in the way of death that would not bear the one whom John's appearing heralded in, the one whose blood, when it is shed in its own unjust martyrdom, redeems and rescues the nations of the world. And it should not be overlooked that St. John the Forerunner was mercifully taken out of this hollow world of lust and in injustice and vanity, and he was welcomed early into the joy and the life that Jesus Christ won for him, right? And what would Billy Joel say? Right? Only the good die young, right? And there's something of that truth with St. John here. St. John, the first to rejoice in the gospel, as he leapt in his mother's womb at the presence of the word of God incarnate, now leaps for that same joy in heaven, in the same presence of his Savior, who wipes away every tear and forgives sin forever. So the question then before us this morning, and it's in a pretty straightforward way too, is what about you? What side are you on? Are you on the side of death? Or are you on the side of life? Because they are mutually exclusive. You cannot flirt with both of them. Are you on the side of St. John and the hard, difficult, persecuted way of life? shunning, despising, and calling out the world's way of death by all of its immorality. And you see this immorality every single day of your life. Is your heart full of courage, clinging to truth? The truth who has a name, by the way. And that name is Jesus Christ. And pointing to that truth, like our brother St. John, to that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world to make fallen men his again. Or are you on the side of death? Are you on the side of all the demons? The side of the coward Herod, retreated to the shadows of pretend honor and justice? Do we shut our mouths for the sake of convenience? For the sake of not being persecuted by this dark world? Afraid to stand for the truth, for fear of being what? Canceled? For fear of being called out and rebuked by this world? I believe, and I think I'm right, I think anyway, above all other sins, all other failures that are common to the race of men, the treasons against the Savior, above all other ones stands the indifference of the sons and daughters of God. Our indifference to wickedness and immorality and all sorts of evil going on all around us all the time. Has not every one of us tested our mettle and found at times our temperature to be what? Lukewarm and tepid. For convenience sake, have we not tempered, deadened our conviction of what we know is right and true and good and beautiful? Has truth not been silent upon our lips when it darn well should not have? Because we feared the consequences more than we fear God. Have we not opted to stand in the world's inner circle with Herod, with Herodias, with Salome and all of his court? Oh, that the courage, that the urgency for truth that this world needs, and the fervor and joy that St. John had in those things would pierce to our hearts and convict each of us more. Oh, that we would be a lighthouse and a beacon shining the beautiful radiance of our God in the dark night of this world, for the sake of this world, by the way, for the sake of this world, that we would rather turn our backs on the way of this world and the way of death, right? The institutions, the bank accounts, the false security, that we would turn our backs on the tempting of Salome and be satisfied and find joy in God's merciful provision, be it locusts and honey and camel's hair, be it the truth of God's word, no matter what, and the presence of Jesus Christ here with us, which is what he has given. Therefore, again, comes to us that summons that we all know well, the summons of the Christian religion and the people of God, the summons to repent, to turn away, to repent, recant, and return to our God who loves us and died to have us. For we have not been satisfied with the way of Jesus Christ and of life. We have been tempted by, we have flirted with, and even found ourselves at times in the way of death. Literally, for the love of God, why can we not just let the world mock us? Why can't we be okay with that? Why can't we let the world hate us? Why can't we even let it kill us? It doesn't matter. It does not matter one bit. The world, my brothers and sisters, cannot do one thing to the sons and daughters of God. Not one thing. It never prevails upon us. It will never stand against the church. Because the one that our brother John anointed in the River Jordan, of whom the Father said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, of whom I am well pleased," that same one has made us sons in whom the Father is well pleased too. Satan cannot snatch even one of us from his mighty nail-pierced hands. Not one of us. Christ at all times is a fortress around us. His Spirit lives within us. His Word is on our minds, on our lips, and in our hearts. That is where his gospel is. He speaks life into us, and he speaks us into life. Feeds us even with his martyred flesh and blood. And brings us with him into life eternal. Into that same way of life. That is the joy that St. John knew and that St. John lived during his time on earth. And now knows perfectly in heaven. And don't you know it was enough for him? It was enough for him. It was enough for him to stand in truth and face this world and the death and the way of death that it wields head on. I mean, St. John, he was no fool. There's no mistaking that. He was no fool. He knows what this world is about. And he knows what this world had in store for. Because the way of this world, beloved of the Lord, it is always the way of death. Period. Always. Don't you forget that. Those who stand upon the rock, wrapped in the armor of the Word of God, have nothing in this world to lose. They have everything to die for and not one thing to ever fear. That is why when he was tested, St. John did not show himself to be a reed bent over every wind of false doctrine that blew his way. That is why he proved so completely stout of heart and courageous, even in the face of this world's way of death, that he would never move from. May God give us here at Christ Church this might of conviction, this courage born of the Spirit of God, this passion forged in the furnace of God's mercy and love, to follow no matter what, in the way of St. John, our brother, that mighty desert preacher of truth, who points not ultimately to the many sins and failures before God, which there are many, God knows there are, but who points to the Savior, who points to the Lamb of God, who takes away those sins, who takes away those failures. May the Lord fix our eyes there. And by God, may this world never move. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.